Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womax and Friends. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, musicians, and comedians that perform here and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what makes our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Don Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. Welcome to today's episode in the Virginia's for Laughers podcast, where we delve into the stories behind the places and faces that make our community vibrant. Today, we're diving into the heart of Front Royal's culinary scene with Rachel Felmetzger.
Or you can just say Rachel F.
Okay, Rachel F. I love that. Thank you so much. Rachel is the owner of Pavement Smokin' Tap House. Nestled in the northern Shenandoah Valley, Pavement offers an extraordinary experience blending Texas-inspired barbecue and a beer garden. They are housed in a renovated 1960s gas station. With a focus on fostering social interaction and introducing patrons to new tastes, Pavement has become a beloved destination for foodies and craft beverage enthusiasts alike. Join us as we uncover the journey behind Pavement's creation, its unique offerings, and the vision driving its future. Welcome to the show, Rachel. It's great to have you on today.
Thank you, Dawn. It was nice to be asked.
I know. And we are right here in the beer garden.
We are.
As we speak.
Smack dab in it.
Yeah. People are here enjoying themselves. It's a gorgeous day.
Perfect.
I know. It's perfect. Weather is amazing. I would love if you could start with what inspired the creation of Pavement Smokin' Tap House.
Well, I moved here about 14 years ago, and I ended up marrying someone in the restaurant business in Front Royal. And we ended up kind of renovating and giving his restaurant kind of a new vibe, and it became very popular. And we ended up just running out of space. So we started looking for new spaces, and restaurant spaces are very difficult to find in a small town. It's usually the same spaces over and over again that have been turned into a restaurant, you know, 10, 20 times. And I wanted something that was very different. And you know, this place had been sitting here as a kind of a used car lot for several years. And, you know, they probably were selling one car, you know, every few months. Probably wasn't worth their time. So they put it up for lease. And there was like an old mechanic shop in here at one time, but nothing that really stuck and nothing that really like became a great bookend on the end of Main Street, because we are one of the entrances to Main Street. So when you come onto Main Street in Front Royal, you will see us, you know, on one of the avenues. And so I thought, you know, that would make a really cool restaurant. And here we are. It's now a restaurant. We just had our 9th anniversary on April 1st.
Yeah, congratulations.
And yeah, it's been kind of a cool idea. People thought we were insane. They were like, you're going to turn it into what? I would never eat in there. That place is, you know. But it's been cool. It's been fun.
Yeah, when you pull up, laughers, you pull up, you see it was a gas station, and where the pumps are where the
smokers are.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's so funny because people will pull up to the smokers and get very confused about how to pump the gas. And I mean, you know, I don't want to be this kind of person, but we do kind of sit inside and watch for a while and just go, oh, they're so cute. You know, that's so cute.
They think they might be gas pumps.
They think that they're going to find gas there.
That could be a show.
Yeah. We have a lot of people. People used to come in and be very, very confused. But
yeah, you know. I can imagine. It seems like you have a very close-knit community vibe feel here. Can you talk about your brand and culture and how it's fostered among your patrons?
Well, I think as far as my brand or my culture at Pavement, for me, this place has always just been like, come to my backyard, hang out with me, have a good time, chill out. Let's listen to some music.
Let's
gather as friends. Yeah. And I think a lot of people come here really to sit outside and find someone to talk to. Yeah. A lot of times, you know, you don't have anyone to come here with, but you just come, sit down, get some vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
And drink a good beverage.
Yes.
And it's really about, you know, being at a backyard party all the time.
Mm. It definitely has that feel. I pulled up and parked and looked around. And I said, this is going to be an awesome podcast.
Well, you know, it's really...
this is a great place. I love it. It's unique. It's different.
Yeah. And it's really cool for people who have families or dogs that, you know, that they take everywhere for them, with them, for them. I don't know. Or maybe it could be for them.
If it's could be for them.
You know, special needs. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so they, it's a great place for that. You come, you let them go and just run,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a great place for that. So,
You moved here from where?
Well, I moved here from Kansas City, but I'm actually originally from Houston, Texas.
Okay. Is that why Texas inspired barbecue?
Well, so the barbecue thing is a little bit of a, that just sort of happened because it is a gas station. Okay. So the interior is very tiny.
Yes.
So our kitchen is actually like, the old sales room, you know,
where they clock in back in the day,
right? And you know, the guy would take you to sign your life away on a car.
Right.
That's kind of where the kitchen is. So it's very, very tiny. Yeah. And the more popular we got, the more we realized there was literally no way to cook the amount of food we needed to cook on the inside of this building and have seating.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we threw a smoker out and we learned how to smoke meat and we became a barbecue place so that we could really do most of our cooking outside.
Okay. When did the transition to the barbecue, the smokers outside, happen? You said you've been around 9 years, so it sounds like you kind of figured that out along the way.
Yeah. Well, we started out as a gastropub, which was kind of like, you know, a gastropub and tap house, which was very 10 years ago, you
what
know?
What does gastropub mean?
Fancy sandwiches.
Okay. Cool.
You know, with weird ingredients, you know, like pate cheeseburger or whatever, you know, I don't know, things like that. You know, we had like very like fun, inventive, you know, pub food.
Mm.
And we also had more taps at the time. We had 35 taps of beer at the time and all craft, and we would change them every week. And, you know, we set ourselves up for a lot of work. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie. It was a lot of work. And so as the years went on and I got older,
and you're like,
this is a lot of work, man. Yeah. I got to print a new menu every week.
Really?
It's time to slow down. Oh, my goodness. We got to change this.
Yeah.
So as time went on, you know, I just, look, I believe if something isn't working, fix it. Mm-hmm. Or change it or
do something.
You know, you don't have to stand on your laurels all the time. You know, like
that's a good note.
You know, you can
change is okay.
Change is great. Yeah. You know? If I didn't change, I wouldn't still be in business. Mm. So as things got difficult to do, I just started kind of eliminating some of it, you know, and basically that's kind of how it happened. As you know, I eliminated half the taps, basically. Well, we have 21 now instead of, 35. And that made room for larger meats like briskets and ribs and things like that. So
I want to talk about the process a little bit, about how you started taking some things away that weren't working. Did you make some sort of announcement to your clientele, or did you kind of just make the changes and they learned those changes when they came back as a sort of a surprise even to them, or a mix of communication?
It's probably a mix.
Okay.
And, you know, it's like I switch things around. Try to do it seasonally, obviously, because that makes most sense, right?
Yeah.
And then I hear 3 months of complaining. Why don't you still have such and such? Why don't you still have such and such? Until they find something they love.
And okay. Then
they complain again after I get rid of that thing.
Okay.
But
all right. But change is hard on all of us.
It is. And I totally get it. But I always tell everyone, for the one thing I took away, I'll give you two things you like better.
Oh. Well, there you go.
You know, I'm not sure that I'm doing that every time, but, you know, that's what I tell people. That's the goal.
That's under promise and over deliver.
Exactly.
That's the goal anyway, right?
Exactly.
That is the goal. And I want to, this inspired barbecue, What kinds of barbecue are we talking about? Because there are different kinds. There's vinegar taste and there's the sweet barbecue taste. Or do you have both? What?
So what's crazy is I moved here from Kansas City.
Right.
Missouri. And but I'm originally from Houston, Texas. So I'm from like two really big barbecue cities.
Yeah, you are. That's right.
And so it's, I'm not going to lie, it's kind of a little bit of both, you know. Okay. Texas, it's mostly Texas, which is going to be a little bit on the tangier side. It's not a, it's not a, a vinegar base or mustard base. It's, you know, kind of a little spicier.
Mm-hmm.
We've always kind of had a Tex-Mex kind of thing going on here. We've always done things like tacos and quesadillas and stuff like that. And that's really the most popular part of our menu. Our most popular item is actually the birria tacos that we have.
The birria?
Birria tacos.
What are those?
So a birria taco is a taco that is like, it's a corn tortilla.
Okay.
And then you lay it flat and then you put tons of cheese on it. And then you stick another corn tortilla on top of that. And then you put more cheese on top of that.
Okay.
And then you put a bunch of brisket in it. And this brisket is special.
Wow.
So for people who don't know what brisket is, because I get asked this a lot.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I know.
That's all right. We all know. We can't know everything.
Yeah, and I think it's also brisket can be very cultural too.
All right.
So brisket is actually the chest of the cow. Mm-hmm. And it has a lot of fat, and it's something that takes a long time to cook. So our brisket here is smoked for about 18 hours.
Wow.
So it's not, you know, when we run out of things and people are like, well, you can't just go make it. No, it takes 18 hours. Like when we're out, we're out. So, but this brisket that goes into the birria is a little bit different. We actually put it in the oven and it gets, stewed with like ancho peppers and chilies and things like that.
That sounds so good.
Yeah, it is good. And then you dump that into the tortilla with the double tortilla with the cheese. And that gets kind of, you know, fried up on the flat top. And it gets served with a couple of different salsas. And the big thing about the birria taco is it gets served with like a consomme, which is like the juices from the brisket and the peppers. And then so you kind of dip it in.
Mm-hmm.
You dip the taco in. But it's not a healthy option.
No, and it sounds huge. But it sounds like a big taco.
Well, it's three tacos.
Okay.
But the crazy thing is I have never eaten it.
Okay, Rachel. Why have you not eaten this taco?
Because I am allergic to mammals.
For real?
For real.
When did you find that out?
It happened to me about 5 years ago. I got bit by a tick that gave me a mammal allergy. And so I haven't been able to eat beef or pork in many, many years.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah. So where do you eat if you don't eat your restaurant?
Well, I do eat at my restaurant. Right. I eat chicken.
Okay. And you and have chicken.
Yes. And we also have, we provide Impossible Burgers as an option. So that's like a vegan option. We also have, a jackfruit. Jackfruit is,
I don't even know what that is.
Well, it's a fruit.
I figured that part out, laughers, just in fairness.
It's a fruit named Jack. Jackfruit, when you like kind of stew it in barbecue sauce,
right,
it kind of has the texture of pulled pork.
Yeah.
So vegans like it for a barbecue option.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and actually a lot more people order it than I would have expected. So there are other options. And, you know, I can always eat a tater tot. Not allergic to those.
Yeah, thank God. But speaking of food, I love food. I am such a foodie. So I had to bring you some snacks today. And I brought you them from our sponsor, Preposterous. They're absurdly flavorful popcorn. Their kernels are grown right here in the Shenandoah Valley. Their factory is 100% nut-free. And they are Shenandoah Valley's only award-winning popcorn. And most recently, they got the Virginia Finest trademark designation, which means that their popcorn is among Virginia's finest and top-quality crafted foods.
I could have told you that. I'm eating it. It's great.
Isn't it great?
Mm-hmm.
We got this multicolored looking kernels here, which taste a little bit like Fruity Pebbles. Wouldn't you say? You were the one saying that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think definitely Fruity Pebbles.
Mm-hmm.
It's delicious.
It is delicious. These were the colorful bags that she put out, the owner of Preposterous, and made for like the Easter season.
And I feel like as a single middle-aged woman, I really know popcorn well because it's one of the few things in my home.
I'm a popcorn lover myself. In fact, such a popcorn lover that Laughers, we are offering a 15% discount on Preposterous. Just use promo code LAUGH15 and go to preposterous.com. That's PreposterouS.com. All right. Now back to you, Rachel. Let's talk about more of the menu items. Okay. I noticed that you have these extreme cube combinations. Can we talk about those? Because those looked really cool. Is the taco one of
them? The birria taco is one of those.
It sounded like it might be.
So over the years, even from the beginning, we always had like kind of like interesting food combinations. One of our first menu items was a bacon onion jam burger, kind of before bacon onion jam was a thing. So this is going back, you know, a decade or more. And so we've always had kind of strange and interesting combinations that we've made here. One of our biggest menu items is actually polenta fries. So I wanted to use barbecue to make like some unusual items. So we have one of the things on that menu, which is really cool. It's actually a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with pork belly on it. So we call it the PBPBJ, pork belly, peanut butter and jelly.
Clever.
And we do change the jam. We make it ourselves, but we change it seasonally. Right now it's peach. So it's like a peach jam with like peanut butter and this really beautiful crispy pork belly. And if you don't know what pork belly is, it's basically bacon that's just cut thick and it's uncured, but it's amazing. I mean, now that I will admit that I did chew and spit out. I had to try it. I had to try it. Plus, I make a lot of the menu items in my head. And so I need to be able to taste them at some point in time. So I do try to get away with the, you know, instead of the, it's not the swish and spit, it's the bite and spit.
Bite and spit.
Bite and spit. Chew and spit.
So. Were you a chef or something?
Well, actually, it's kind of funny. I've worked in the kitchens at all my restaurants at some point in time, except for one of them. But sometimes it's not by choice. Sometimes you just, you know. But I think because I am the general manager and owner, and I do love food, and, you know, it's one of life's joys.
It is. I agree, Laughers.
Yeah. I think it's my responsibility to make sure that the menu kind of reflects what I think is appropriate for the restaurant. And I think, you know, especially since this has been going on for like a decade, I've had lots of chefs and I've had lots of people work in the kitchen. And if you allow each person to come in and change it and change it and change it and kind of take over, then it kind of loses its focus over the years. So at this point, I've kind of taken the reins and I make most of the menu items at this point.
I bet that's challenging as an owner of a restaurant in ways. I would like to ask you about this because chefs want to have some autonomy, I imagine, over the creations and what they're making. But you bring up a very good point that if the chefs keep changing, then that changes almost the essence of the...
Well, it changes my original concept too, which not to say it hasn't changed over the years, as we discussed, it has. Yeah. But at the same time, my vision still kind of needs to stay, you know, in the same vein at least. But, you know, it's interesting because there are different types of kitchen managers or chefs, and some really are really about the execution. They're not so much about the creativity as they are about executing what your vision is to the best degree it can be. So I find that it just depends on the person who's working for you.
And how they look at how
it
all works.
And currently, my kitchen manager / head chef, Jeff, is amazing at, you know, listening to me and executing my ideas. So he's great at that.
Yeah. And I imagine for, you know, it's a case by case basis per restaurant and their goals and things too on how that working relationship gets established between the chefs and the owners, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And what do you think about that?
I think I've always been so close to my staff over the years. I'm very close to my staff. They become my friends and my family. And
as she waves to some of them now.
Well, it's really funny because someone walking past us right now is actually an ex-employee that's here with his new baby.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you think he came to bring the baby to meet you?
I've met the baby.
Oh, okay.
I get to meet all the babies.
You're lucky.
But yes, I'm sure he came to show off the baby. But yeah, so I've remained good friends with employees as they've gone and done other things with their life. So, you know, I think it's easy to have a relationship with your kitchen manager or your head chef that can be really, you know, it's a 50-50 proposition, you know?
Yeah, well, it sounds like
You know, I can't treat my employees as though their opinion doesn't matter because they're the ones doing all this and they know all the ins and outs way better than I do. You know, they know what equipment works better for what and all these things. So you really have to listen. But at the end of the day, you know, you do kind of have to keep your focus on what your original concept is, or otherwise people really are confused.
Mm-hmm. That makes total sense. And people are better suited and fit. It's like relationships.
Well, this isn't a fine dining restaurant, so we don't need to change the recipe once a week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I got you.
We want consistent food that, you know, you can bring your kids out and they remember, oh, I really love that mac and cheese. Well, you don't want to switch it up every week, you know?
That's right. That's
those
right.
Those kinds of things.
So. I like that a lot. And you have a diverse selection of craft beverages. Let's talk about what you have on there. You have a tap wall.
We do. So the original idea was that this was going to really kind of... The original concept was really focused around the craft beer before the food. So the craft beer was kind of the thing. This was during the craft beer craze and really before we had any breweries in town. And however, you know, not to say that that segment has died, but it's certainly not what it was 10 years ago. So we've done a little bit more to welcome in some new things and and drinking. And for instance, I happen to be a sober person, so I'm actually 835 days sober today.
Congratulations. High five.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
So I have a great mocktail menu and non-alcoholic beers.
Yeah.
We make homemade shrubs here, which we use for non-alcoholic cocktails. We purchase non-alcoholic spirits. A shrub, it's...
Thank you. We're finishing each other's sentences. She knew exactly what I was wondering in my head.
Look on your face. Kind of gave it away.
Okay.
So a shrub is essentially a vinegar-based elixir, I guess you could say. It's like I use champagne vinegar for mine, and you infuse some sort of sweetness into it. Typically honey is what I like to use, or agave. And then you fill your vinegar and your sweet substance up with generally fresh fruit or fresh herbs. Like I did one the other day that was fresh pineapple and mint. And so you kind of let that sit and simmer on a shelf and room temperature for like a week. And then you open it up and kind of mix it up and you get like the essence of the acid from the vinegar and you get the sweetness from the honey. And then now all those herbs and fruit, all that's kind of settled in there too. And you get that as well. And like, actually I'm drinking one right now. And
I thought it was water.
No, it's a shrub. So you just put it on ice and you like add either like tonic or Sprite or ginger beer is great. And it tastes like a cocktail.
What?
Yeah. Cause the acid from the champagne vinegar gives you kind of like that idea that you're
having a drink,
exactly.
But you're not really having a drink.
Exactly.
That's really cool though. Cause there's plenty of people out there, they might be pregnant, they've decided to not drink now, maybe forever, like yourself.
Yeah.
It's a lot of reasons people would love drinks and beverages like that. And becoming more popular, I hear from my friends that have breweries and vineyards that customers are looking for more non-alcoholic options. Would you say you're going through that too?
I actually just did a show on this on Tuesday, actually.
Okay.
And 38% of the American adult population does not drink.
38%?
38%. Yep. And this is going up every year.
Every year.
More and more people are quitting because we know so much more. We know that alcohol isn't exactly, you know, the best thing for your health. And so, yeah, 30% of American adults have quit drinking. So providing something
that
makes them
people,
feel like they're
they can
a part
come.
Of it.
Absolutely. I think that's important.
I mean, you know, I think it's, I love them. I think they're fun and it kind of makes me feel like a cool kid.
You are a cool kid, Rachel. I figured that out. I just met her today and I've already decided she's cool.
I'm blushing.
I mean, seriously, it's fun. I feel like I have met a new friend is what I'm saying to you, laughers. All right. I want to talk to you more about what you do offer from this. Wow. It says newly renovated space here in my notes, but it is a renovated space. No, I would say 9 years doesn't make you new anymore, though.
Well, actually, we have renovated several times since we've opened.
Oh, good. Let's talk about it.
So we actually were closed in January and February this year.
Really?
To renovate, and not the fun stuff, but like we redid some plumbing and some electrical work, and we had all the HVAC.
That is put not in. The fun stuff.
No, it's not. And it's the expensive stuff. So it's like very expensive. And then you go, that's what that bought me?
Yeah. No,
it's not even a cool pink building. It's just more air conditioning. Although when it's 100 degrees outside, the air conditioning is much loved.
It's divine.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's nice. But we have renovated some things, but they're not fun things. So,
And you're we're backed up right now to something really cool. I would love for you to talk about.
Yeah, so that's the town's arboretum or walking trail, and it starts like over here by the bridge. And it goes around to our library. It goes past our shopping center, our main grocery store over here. And it's just beautiful. I mean, it's just a great place, you know, for families to go take a stroll at night, take their dogs out. And it's real fun because families will ride their bikes and then they'll just park them behind the restaurant and walk through the back and come and hang out with us for a little while. I actually host trivia here every Wednesday night.
I saw that.
And it's so fun. Trivia is so fun because we pack the patio every week for that.
Like, so you do it out here where we're at.
Yeah. I only do it outside because the inside's just not big enough. But we do it outside and the whole place is packed. It kind of feels like a community, you know, sort of vibe because people of all ages come out for it. And you'll see, you know, families just park all their little bikes and scooters out here.
That's gotta be fun to watch.
You know, it's fun. It's great. I love it. I've been doing that for, I can't remember, I guess 8 years is how long I've been hosting trivia. And it's just crazy to watch these friendships and things form over 8 years. These people come every week and they love it.
That's part of their routine now.
Yeah, it's great.
So yeah, family are coming every Wednesday, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, I've literally seen
friends, family.
I've seen families have like 3 kids in the past 8 years. I've watched their kids grow up. Some of them are working for me now. It's just crazy.
That's fun.
It is fun.
I love that. I do want to talk about one of the renovations you did. I believe there's a 12 top that sits on, what was it, car lift inside?
Yeah, so when we first moved in here, the original car lift and one of the bays was still in here and it was actually being used. It was connected to the air pressure, so you know, you could take the cars up and down and stuff. And it actually goes, I think it's like 12 or 14 feet into the ground, the piston does. And so the removal of it was going to be incredibly expensive. It's very heavy. I don't know how much it weighs. It weighs several tons. And so we decided, you know what? Let's turn it into a table. That's even cooler. So we took it off the air pressure and we had a guy come in who actually built one of Richard Nixon's podiums. I don't know. Very crazy.
But that is different.
Yeah, he was an older gentleman who built a podium for Richard Nixon. And he built this cage that sits underneath the car lift and continues to hold it up. And then we put a glass top on it. But it's really funny because when we were closed, a couple of the people who are on a trivia team that's here every week, they said, "Are you getting rid of that big glass table?" And I said, "That's not a table." And they were like, what do you mean that's not a table?" I said, "That's the original car lift. How could you be coming here for 10 years and not notice that's a car lift?" They were blown away.
They were blown away.
Blown away. They were like, how did we not know that? And then, so now every time they walk in, they're like, how did we not figure this out over 10 years?
Like, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty big. It's hard to miss.
You can't miss it. No, can't. By the way, what am I drinking here? I told you I liked a lager. You brought me this out, this beer out. What? Tell me about this.
So this is a Narragansett lager. And, you know, it's a lager. It's beer.
It's beer.
It's good beer for good people.
That's me. So me and this beer are a pair today. As a manager, you must have gained so much wisdom in the years that you have been running and owning and managing businesses. What do you feel have you gained in this experience?
Wow. You know,
I know that is a loaded
that
question.
That is really a loaded question, especially for someone who runs a restaurant.
I have never done that. I don't know what that's like.
To be honest with you, it is not an easy thing. Anyone who works in the hospitality industry, especially people who manage in the hospitality industry, it's a struggle. It's a struggle in so many different ways. But I think the thing that I've learned is, and this is going to be crazy, but this is probably the thing that I've learned the most from the restaurant business. Not everyone thinks the way that I do. And so, but there is more to this. So you have to remember that at the end of the day, it's not about you.
No, that is such a good note. Yes.
And, you know, I guess I started this journey when I was in my mid-30s, or my late-30s is when I really got into the restaurant business, because before that I was a graphic designer and interior designer.
Oh, that makes so much sense, because the marketing's really great.
I started a web development company in the early 90s. So I had, that's kind of all the experience that I put towards it. But you know, I thought it only mattered what I want. It had to be about me and my vision. But I have learned that whether it's a customer or an employee, you know, it's not really about what I want. I mean, I don't eat meat or drink beer.
Yeah, you're running, managing, and owning a restaurant that provides exactly that.
Exactly. So I talk about learning the lesson
the irony.
Hard. I know, I tell everybody, I clearly make very poor decisions.
We all have
many but that's the one thing I've probably learned. It's about the customer and what they want. It doesn't mean that they're always, you know, you always have to change for what the customer wants, but for the most part you definitely have to take it into consideration.
Well, sure, because you want people here drinking beer and eating barbecue.
Exactly.
And having a great time.
I was gonna say having a good time, just hanging out with us. I mean, that's the thing we love.
Yeah,
we love hanging out with like strangers.
Yeah, I do too. You know? It's so fun. I'm a people person though, so
yeah, I've always
come natural to that.
I've always been a people person as well. But and then, you know, if they don't like me, they're going home anyway. So
you don't have to wake up with them in the morning.
No, just a bad review.
And you have to take those with a grain of salt, don't you?
That's the hardest thing.
Isn't that hard?
It's really hard. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I, you know, this is my baby and these are my children.
Right.
And when people don't love my children,
I know, it
it's
hurts.
So hard. It's really hard.
I feel like sometimes with reviews, it's not exactly what happened. Do you feel?
I think they're all over the place.
Okay.
And I think something that we may perceive as not a big deal to that person.
It was to them.
It was to them. And, you know.
That's important too, though.
It's not fun. And I don't love them a lot of times. But, you know, you do have to read, what did they say and how can I make this better? You know, the bad reviews aren't fun, but we get way more good reviews. I mean, let's be honest. We, you know.
That's right.
That's not fun.
No, it doesn't feel good. No. But I like how you recognize that and then are open to what you can learn from it to make it an even better experience here.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I'm here to make a buck. You know, right? You know, this is a business, right?
That's what businesses should
be
doing.
That's what businesses should be doing. Yeah. And it's not easy in the restaurant business, but that's why I'm here. And so I want people to be happy when they leave. I want them to come back. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's important. the things that are unpleasant can also be valuable in that they teach us something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that. For listeners who may never have been to pavement before, a day in their lives, what would you want them to know about the experience here?
Well, I think the first thing that I would like them to know is that they need to come with the idea that they're just going to sit back, relax, and chill out.
Aw, I love that. This made me feel relaxed just saying that.
I think if you think you're going to come in, oh, I just want to eat something really quick and I'll get the vibe. You're not going to get the vibe. I think you got to come in here and go, you know what? We're going to give it hour and 15 minutes and just chill. And just take it
and be.
Air, bring the puppy, let the kids run around. We actually have, you know, kids' toys out on the patio.
Yeah,
we have a pup menu, so we have a menu for dogs.
A menu for dogs.
We do.
What is on the menu for dogs?
Well, they can get
a pup cup.
They can get a pup cup.
Okay.
We have pup cups, and we have like these little doggy snack things that are filled with peanut butter.
Oh, my dogs would love those.
Oh, they can get a chicken.
Good.
You know, things like that. So we do, we love all animals. We've had iguanas, we've had rabbits, we've had cats. We had a parrot out here one time.
Did it talk to you?
Oh, yeah.
Did it say? Do you remember?
I can't even remember.
But it did talk to you.
Oh, yeah.
That's
funny. And it's kind of funny when people get like a new animal.
Yeah.
This is like the place they come to show it off. You know, it doesn't even matter what it is. You know, it's like their new snake. Oh, I'm going to pavement. I want everybody to see it. So, it's just a place to come and really just relax. Have a good time. It's not serious. It's not, you know, we're not changing the world here one brisket at a time, but we're having a good time. So.
Building relationships and that can be very life changing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like your Wednesday nights.
Yeah. Wednesday nights. So trivia is Wednesday nights at 6:30. And then we start our music season Saturday, but every Friday night we'll be doing either music or comedy.
Awesome. I'm going to talk about the future right now. What you see happening for pavement going forward? Are there any developments you have in the works that you want to talk about or...
I think ultimately the something that we've had in engineering for about a year now is we really want to put a I don't know what you call it. I cannot think right now. Basically a roof over the back.
Oh, but that would be great. Like a pavilion?
Pavilion. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
So we want to put a pavilion over the back of the restaurant so that we're more weather resistant because really our restaurant does rely on outside seating. We only seat about, you know, a little over 40 people inside, but we seat twice that many outside. We really are known as an outdoor restaurant. And, I think that we always kind of were, but COVID really cemented that for us because we were kind of one of the few places people could go and hang out because we had so much outdoor space. And we did everything from put out tents to we had these little greenhouses people were sitting in at one time in the winter. I mean, we've tried everything. But so we do actually have plans, and it is with an architect right now to put a pavilion over the
back. Very cool. Do you have a target date or estimation or time frame you'd like it to happen? I know how construction goes. So between what they say and what happens can be different.
Well, we were going to actually try to get it done this year, but because our heating and air conditioning went out throughout the building and we had to replace that kind of became a priority over the
pavilion.
But I see us doing it in the next, you know, probably 12 to 14 months.
That would be great. Yeah. So definitely by next summer, it sounds like it could be happening.
Hopefully by next spring.
That'll be great. Oh, I'd love to come back and see that. I'm so excited.
It'll also extend us like in November and December. We are going to close in January, but so we'll be able to heat it and things like that too.
How exciting, Rachel. Got everybody must be looking forward to that.
I definitely am.
I am too. Well, as we wrap up here, how best can the laughers stay up to date with pavement on social media or otherwise?
things?
Well, you can find us on our Facebook. It is Pavement Smoke and Tap House. And we are also on Instagram. Trying to think what else. I TikTok every once in a while.
You know, a TikTok?
I do a TikTok every once in a while.
I haven't really.
But you know, it's like over 50. I don't know. I'm not, I mean, I don't want to be like I'm cool, but you know, I feel a little weird on the TikTok scene.
You know? I haven't even tried it. I think I've been on somebody else's TikTok, but I've not braved that world myself yet.
Yeah, it's a lot of editing, I feel like. Those little tiny clips, you gotta capture it all.
What will go viral?
7 seconds.
I know.
It's crazy.
It's like if I get people's attention in 3 seconds or something.
I talk way too much for that.
Come on, people. Live life. Be with us. Hang out.
Exactly.
Hang out like we are right now. Well, thank you, Rachel. This has been super fun chatting with you today on all things Pavement, Smoke and Tap House. I really enjoyed our time today, and thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been a blast.
It has. I'm so excited about it. And laughers, to learn more about Pavement, please visit their website at pavementtaphouse.com. And thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast. We've had a good time, haven't we? And if you've had a good time, please give this video a like, share, and subscribe to our channel. Also, don't forget that discount on Preposterous Popcorn. That's Laugh15. Go snag it on their site. That way you can join me on next week's episode, munching on the delicious popcorn. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womack and Friends. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to a FWAF show or let us bring one to you. To find out more, head to thefunnywomax.com. Be sure to share this podcast with a friend, and until next time, cheers.